Okay, we're gonna call the meeting to order. I know we need to do a roll call.
Captain Barnett?
Present.
Dr. Bethay? Director Chippendale?
Present.
Ms. Connors?
Present.
Ms. Abe? Mr. Fonseca?
Present.
Mr. Gaskins?
Present.
Mr. Green?
Present.
Major Harmon? Superintendent Klein?
Present.
Dr. O'Brien? Sergeant Okunoren? Captain Peña?
Present.
Secretary Scruggs?
Present.
Lieutenant Schumate?
Present.
Secretary Tolentino? Mr. Washington?
Present.
We have a quorum.
Thank you. And we do have two new members today. I'd like to introduce them to the group. First, we have Mr. David Green, I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. For the record, Ms. Robinson?
Present.
Thank you.
You forgot the new members. Okay. You get Mr. Green.
And, well, I did get Mr. Green.
Okay.
Her position was new, so.
All right. All right, apologies, we had to backtrack because of our two new members today. So welcome to the Correctional Training Commission meeting. Thank you for becoming part of this team and understanding the importance of what this body does. Introducing to the rest of you, Mr. David Green. He is the new Deputy Secretary of Operations for the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services. So you can remove acting from in front of his name because that was already. So welcome, Dave. And Ms. Marika Robinson, welcome to you as well. She represents the Division of Parole and Probation. And welcome, Ms. Robinson. All right, we confirm we do have a quorum?
Yes, ma'am, we have a quorum.
Okay. We're gonna go right to Director Westby and go into our training standards report.
Okay, thank you. Let me get that up. Training and standards report for both quarter four and the year end, starting with quarter four. The current number of correctional officers, 11,279. The difference in the number of correctional officers from the previous quarter is 172. Number of AFCs process and certification cards issued under probationary status, 396. Non-officer status report, 84. Total number of separations was 110, and that was broken down into 20 terminations, 90 resignations, and 0 retirements. Those requiring supplemental information or a higher level review, 56. Training compliance by agency, we are currently 31.25% compliant. The number of programs approved for both police and corrections, 499. There was 119 new correctional instructors, 0 selection standards audits completed, 6 academy audits completed, 0 in-service audits completed, no other audits completed for the quarter. For 2025 year end, the current number of correctional officers, 11,279. That was a difference from the beginning of the year of 335. The total number of AFCs processed and certification cards issued in probationary status, 1,286. There's a total of 203 reported non-officer status. The total number of separations, 655, and that's broken down totally into 97 terminations, 417 resignations, 141 retirements, excuse me. The number of those requiring supplemental information and higher level review totaled at 190. Training compliance by agency, 31.25%. Number of programs approved both police and corrections, 2,109. Number of new correctional instructors, 717. There were 0 selection standard audits completed, number of academy audits, 15, number of in-service audits completed, 15, and no other audits completed. And that concludes. Does anybody have any questions regarding any of those numbers?
So I do. The training compliance by agency, it doesn't seem to be where we need it to be. Do we know why those numbers are so low? Are they specific agencies? And what do we need to do to get those numbers up?
So the 31.25%, and please, Dr. Lyles, correct me if I'm wrong, they start the new year in October. So this is actually starting from October and will go through this year.
But
so,
even if you go backwards, even if you go, if we start with the 65%, that's mm-hmm. very low. 90 is good, but not where we should be. Why? I guess my concern is, why aren't we closer to the 100%? Is there something, is there a commonality in why we're not able to reach this total compliance for training?
If I may, the reporting requirement for in-service training, which is due by 12/31, the reporting requirement in COMAR requires reporting by January 31st. And some agencies often wait until the end of the year as opposed to sending the information on an ongoing basis. And one of the things that we've directed the correctional training unit for the department, which is the largest department in the state, is to not hold them till the end of the year, but to report them on an ongoing basis so that when we look at these numbers, if we run these numbers again and we look at them at the next quarterly meeting, they will be obviously different because all of the reporting is coming in now. And so one of the requests for not only the department but for all agencies is to not hold their training back and strictly follow COMAR, which says it's not due until January 31st, the reporting, but to report on an ongoing basis for simplification.
Otherwise, any other questions? Okay, we're going to move right along to AAG ICE legal issues.
Yeah, just to provide the update requested, the individuals whose certification was revoked by the commission filed a petition for judicial review, i.e., an appeal. She filed, I believe it was December 17th. We responded saying that we will participate, we'll need to file the record, and then handle a memoranda will be filed with the circuit court in Baltimore City.
Questions? Great, thank you. Okay, Superintendent Klein, we're gonna move into our new business and the application for certification form discussion.
Good morning, thank you. Our team of background investigators have noticed there's some inconsistency with the AFC, filling out the AFC in relation to when we made changes to the drug standards, specifically related to the legal use. So we sought clarification from PCTC, and we received communication from Brittany Rowe. Her recommendation, so the AFC under Section 9 is basically you have to fill out, so the prior drug standard at the top, you have to fill that out related to the all other drugs. And then the second is you must select one related to cannabis. There's no option there to select if somebody used and that use was legal. So what they said is don't select any of the two boxes, just select the sub box. Was cannabis use lawful under Maryland law? And then they said that you also have to fill out the information related to the drug standard testing mandate. So what I would like to propose is that we update, and I don't know, is that form loaded on there, the proposal?
Yes.
Okay.
It should be under, if you hit cannabis use.
Okay, I'm going to go back here. I'm using my paper.
Off of the agenda.
Okay. So what we're proposing is to add, and actually this probably isn't the last iteration of what we proposed, and I apologize for the spelling error and some of the language that's squashed together and user required at the end, but we're proposing an actual selection for 12 or more months since the last use, which currently exists. I would actually say that we need to add the box of was that lawful under law under that section, and then a 12 or less months since natural use, or since use of natural cannabinoids or cannabis, and then the date required, and provide that information. The other thing too, my understanding of the requirement under COMAR is that the applicable testing for the 2-year testing requirement is only if it was illegal use and not legal use. And so the guidance as it exists now is saying that we still have to do this drug testing mandate, but that's not accurate if they actually legally use the drugs. It's my understanding the way that's written. So that's what we're proposing, to clarify that now we can have people that legally use 12 months or less that would still be certified, and then we can check that box, as opposed to the workaround that was proposed.
So discussion on this matter, have any of you all had any of these concerns within your agencies? Do you agree with the suggestions made by Superintendent Klein? And I guess we need legal to clarify one of the questions that he had related to the usage.
Which was the question, sorry?
I don't know that I mean, right now what they're saying is, if they use it legal, they're saying to fill out the section that they're aware of the drug testing standard mandate. The drug testing standard mandate is only if it's illegal usage under COMAR.
So do they have to fill it out if it's legal?
I don't know. I'd have to look at it, but I would think you can ask them whatever you want to ask them if it's consistent with your standards. But I'd like to look at it further.
Yeah, that's what I was saying.
Concerns? Anyone? Disagreements with any of the changes that are being recommended? Okay. So legal is going to look into whether or not we need to actually have them fill that out.
Yeah. Just one.
Yeah.
If we can, the wording is to me a little bit overlapped, so maybe just a few little tweaks.
Sure, you have recommendations?
So what I see is 12 or more and 12 or less. So there's an overlap in those two and 12. So I would recommend that the third bullet point say fewer than 12 months.
Yes.
Okay.
I agree.
Anyone disagree? Okay. So we will amend the third bullet point to say fewer than 12 months. Any other language changes?
Just for the record, that I would add the subsection under the third bullet, I would add that same subsection under the second bullet as it currently exists in the existing AFC.
Okay. Any concerns about that recommendation?
No, I just noticed one more user required in the second bullet point. Need to space in between.
Yeah, that's
sure.
Well,
yeah.
We stole it off of
that's
the
fine.
PDF. Crunched it.
Sure.
Figured as much.
Yeah.
Ms. Robinson, you had your hand up.
Yeah, the only thing I was just gonna say is where it says 12 or it in the bulletin above the 12 or less, it says 12 or and then it's like MOT.
Yeah, he noted that that's a mistake.
Okay,
that
is
that. Other
questions?
So we can adopt the recommended changes with anticipation that we will get the further guidance from legal as related to whether or not that application, that part of the application needs to be completed. Do we need to? Do we need to vote on it? That's what I'm. Okay, so Shaka does agree we need to have a vote to see whether or not everyone, Shaka agrees, Shaka's really in charge, guys. Everyone, we need to have a vote to agree that everyone is amendable to making these changes.
So
she keeps me on point.
First.
Okay. So I would probably think it would come from Mr. Klein. Motion to update and change the current AFC?
Yeah, I would make a motion that we update and amend the AFC under Section 9 to reflect the changes discussed.
Anyone second that motion?
Second.
I'm sorry.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All in favor? Aye.
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 Any nays? Okay, motion passed. All right, thank you, Superintendent Klein. Anything else under yours?
There's a second under number two. If I can. So we've come up with, again, our background investigators. I'm going to go back and figure out why they're filing work on me. But we've had some back and forth with our Office of Personnel related to the background checks. And there are some requirements in COMAR where they're asking for 5 years of verifiable information. I think there are some examples related to previous employment, neighbors, references, things of that nature. We have some individuals that are new to our country and are legal to work in our country. However, we're having difficulty getting some of that information to do a comprehensive background check. So there's, I think, some inconsistency and maybe some different applications of how people are accomplishing those background checks. I've heard through the MCAA and other colleagues that their guidance is, well, if you can only get 2 months, then go with the 2 months. I've heard, well, if you can't get the 5 years, then they're not eligible because you can't do a background check that would be consistent with what you're doing for everybody. So I told our Office of Personnel I would bring it here to figure out what the standard actually is. I think the challenge is we don't want to be perceived as writing people off and not giving everybody an equal opportunity, but in the same breath, when we're giving everybody an equal opportunity, we have to do it equally across the board. So there are significant challenges when you're dealing with foreign individuals where we can't access criminal databases because we can't reach to Interpol. And we don't have, our phones in Anne Arundel County actually can't call outside of the United States. So then I've heard stories of background investigators saying, well, I'm just gonna hop on to my WhatsApp app and attempt to reach out to these people. We have no ability to travel to verify place of employment, to, you know, put eyes on it, things that different background investigators do. So I guess what I'm asking is there's some language that says within 5 years, and there's an interpretation, well, a year is within 5 years, so that meets the standard. But then other individuals where we can get the full 5 years, we're actually getting the full 5 years and holding them to account for that full time period. So I guess the question to the group or the commission is, what is the actual standard? Is the expectation that it is 5 years and it's 5 years for everybody? Or is it this sort of whatever you can get from whomever? And how do we apply that, or how is that being applied?
So I'd like to hear what other agencies are doing, how they are interpreting that. Does anyone know what your agency is doing, Margaret?
At Howard County, we're using what's available, quite frankly. If we can get the full 5 years, we do. But as Chris Klein had indicated, our individuals that are coming from other countries, that's difficult. So we have accepted as far back as we possibly can go, recognizing there can be things that we can't get from another country. Obviously, education is easy. We require them to provide the education documentation, but it's more the employment history or even a criminal background check. But we're using what we can get, and it's not necessarily 5 years.
So how are we verifying that, say, a person that comes and applies is not wanted in another country? I mean, are we going through CJIS? Are we doing anything to, so that you don't bring this person on and then later find out that they're wanted in their country for whatever? How are we doing that? How are we managing it?
I mean, there's some interpretations that by them being able to legally enter the country, that was done by some other agency, but that's not, again, investigators were taught that it's what they find. And yeah, looking at the current landscape, I think that's...
Yeah, that's not always reliable.
Risky. I don't know. And CJIS, and I mean, those are local, right? They're not going to reach out beyond, you know, for other countries or other jurisdictions other than the United States.
Well, they will be able to tell you via III database if there is a want or wanted for anybody that we do have a treaty or exchange of information with.
Okay.
They can do that. CJIS comes under the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services, so we do have that capability. I guess we need to have some discussion about how, you know, what do we want the standard to look like so that we're all maintaining the same standard when we do this, and then is there a matrix that we need to develop in order to present to all of the agencies to say, moving forward, this is how we handle those individuals that have less than 5 years and how we interpret that.
I think the challenge, when you look at the 5-year requirement, if my memory is correct, it's very specific when it says, I think it's like neighbors and, you know, employment and something like that. And to me, if I was weighing the scale on what's most important, criminal history, gang information,
mm-hmm.
you know, whatever, that's way more important than neighbors for 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
But we don't have a 5-year standard sort of written right next to it. So my investigators look at criminal history and they say, because there's no sort of 5-year thing, they look at all criminal history, right? And the standard sort of talks to that, right? It says you can't have, I think it's a felony ever. Right, or 3 misdemeanors over a lifetime, whatever those standards are.
Mm-hmm.
So they're looking at the full scope. So if you can't recreate that, then how can you move forward with a candidate, you know, when you're looking at everything? But yeah, I agree. I think there needs to be consistency. What we don't want to say is we're excluding a certain population or certain individuals just because. You know, we want to tie it back to anytime we do a write-out, my team writes, this is the standard, right? Whether it's moral turpitude or, you know, character, criminal history, they're always writing that section of COMAR back to it. So when I review it, I can say, okay, this is solid.
So is it more of an interpretation that is needed, or is there an update needed to COMAR to better define what that background should be?
In my personal opinion, I think it's an update to COMAR. I think we need to clarify it there.
Yeah. Okay. So I think that's something that we need to get some suggestions to explore. What does that new COMAR verbiage look like? And then we can get that hopefully submitted this year. But we do still need to determine in the interim of that update, how are we going to manage that? Because you could get an individual that's only been here for 2 months, and yes, they apply for corrections, but does that eliminate them because they don't have the 5 years?
And I think that the challenge is, I mean, I hear what Ms. Chippendale said. I think the standard allows for each jurisdiction to have a tougher requirement, but I don't know with this what I think is being done. I don't know that. I think some people are actually doing less than what I believe the intent of the requirement is.
Mm-hmm. So one of the things that I would like Ms. Westby to do is send something out to all of the agencies to see how they're currently handling that. And great suggestion that we postpone this until we find out how other agencies are doing that, and then we can look at crafting some language that will update COMAR based on the responses that we get back. Okay, do I need a motion for that? You don't think so? Okay.
I didn't, I just started out.
Okay. Great. Great, okay. So that's what we'll do for the next session. We'll have Director Westby give us an update on what she found out from all of the different agencies. We'll have some discussion on that as to whether, based on that, there is a need to actually update COMAR. And if so, we will craft language to submit for that update. Thank you very much. Anything else, Superintendent? Matt?
Yeah. For the record, Master Lady, since I violated my own rule. I would also suggest that the COMAR is completely within our control, and so we don't have to have it. It's not like legislation, and so it's likely that this section could be amended with literally one sentence. Mm-hmm. So if we're going to go in and mess with COMAR, I would recommend considering any and all changes in COMAR that the commission thinks might be appropriate at this time. We've had a lot of discussions over the last year. So it's better to go in one time and do it rather than to go in and amend it by adding one sentence. So just for consideration for the next meeting to think about if there are other COMAR suggested changes to COMAR, that would make it a lot simpler for our policy director and his staff.
Great. Okay, thank you for that information. So we are going to adjourn so that we can go into closed session. Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn to closed session.
Second. Thank you. I know we have some visitors in the back. Okay. Are all of them or any of them part of it? Could we call them?
First person, we can keep the background and we keep the
what's his name? What's his name?
Bond.
So we're gonna ask all of our visitors except background and Mr. Baum to stay. And then if you have a part, you will be called back in. Thank you. Yes, we did. All those in favor of going into closed session?
Aye.
The motion carries. We are now in closed session. It is proposed that the Correctional Training Commission's open session of its 228th meeting on January 14, 2026, being held at the Public Safety Education and Training Center in Sykesville, Maryland, be adjourned to a closed session. The session will be closed under the authority of General Provisions, Article Section 3-305B, 1, 2, and 7, Annotated Code of Maryland. The reasons for closing the session may be to discuss the appointment and employment of an individual over whom the commission has jurisdiction, to protect the privacy or reputation of an individual with respect to a matter that is not related to public business, and to consult with counsel and obtain legal advice. During this closed session, the topics to be discussed under subsection 1, to discuss the appointment and employment of an individual over whom the commission has jurisdiction, is two requests for certification from the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services, and two revocation requests from the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services. During the closed session, the commission heard the following. The Department of Public Safety and Correctional Service presented findings to support the certification of an officer. Commission members voted unanimously to certify. The Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services presented findings to support the certification of an officer. Commission members voted 9-2 to certify. A revocation request for an officer from the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services was presented to the commission. Commission members voted unanimously to hold a revocation hearing. Another revocation request for an officer from the Department of Public Safety and Correctional Services was presented to the commission. Commission members voted 10-0 with one abstinence to hold a revocation hearing. And that concludes the closed session.
Okay. Comments, questions? I will say be mindful when the notifications come out for the revocation hearings. Your availability is very important. So if we need to switch dates or whatever, please let Shaka know, because it's important that we have a quorum during those sessions so that we can review.
I think Mr. Klein pointed out the last time that the dates that were selected for June are dates with the NCAA conference.
Right.
On the local
meeting.
Mm-hmm.
So we need to check that.
They're trying to figure something out.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. We will definitely alter those. Okay.
So, as of right now, we are, that puts us March, that June date that we have to figure out, and I believe this is September date, that's on everyone's calendar.
So they're three, including these two. So including these two that we have, there are a total of three so far this year that will be scheduled.
Okay.
But you will receive an email from Shaka. Just be mindful, you know, to look at your schedules and make sure that you have that availability. Other questions, concerns? All right, we are going to have a motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn.
Second.
Second.
Everybody.
Everybody.
Everybody not agree. Everybody have a good day.
Motion to